Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 4. Pastoral Tendencies to be Avoided. If ye then are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where the Christ sits at the right hand of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Let us often look at David Brainerd, a missionary in the woods of America, pouring out his very soul before God for the perishing heathen without whose salvation nothing could make him happy. Prayer. Secret, fervent, believing prayer lies at the root of all personal lives. He had a mild and winning temper and a heart given up to God in his prayer closet religion. These are the attainments which more than all knowledge or all other gifts will fit us to become the instruments of God in the great work of human redemption. Carey's Brotherhood, Serampore. There are two extreme tendencies in the ministry. The one is to shut oneself off from communication with the people. The monk and the hermit were illustrations of this. They shut themselves off from men to be with God more. They failed, of course. Our being with God is of use only as we disperse its priceless benefits to men. This generation, neither the preacher nor the people is very intent on God. Our hankering is not that way. We shut ourselves into our studies and become students, bookworms, Bible worms, and sermon makers. We are noted for literature, thoughts, and sermons, but the people and God, where are they? Out of heart, out of mind. Preachers who are great thinkers and great students must be the greatest prayers, or they will be the greatest backsliders and heartless professionals. They will be rationalistic and less than the least of preachers in God's estimation. The other tendency is to thoroughly popularize the ministry. The preacher is no longer God's man, but a man of affairs, a man of the people. Even though Paul said to set your sight on things above, not on things on the earth, this preacher doesn't pray, because his mission is to the people. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. If he can move the people and create an interest in church work, he is satisfied. His personal relationship with God is no factor in his work. Prayer has little or no place in his plans. The disaster and ruin of such a ministry cannot be computed by earthly arithmetic. What the preacher is in prayer to God for himself and for his people, so is his power to provide good to men, and so is his true fruitfulness, his true fidelity to God and man for time and eternity. It is impossible for the preacher to keep his spirit in harmony with the divine nature of his high calling without much prayer. To think the preacher can keep himself trim and fit in his work of the ministry by his drive in duty and laborious fidelity is a serious mistake. Even writing and delivering sermons, incessant and taxing as an art, a duty, work, or pleasure, will captivate, harden, and alienate the heart if the preacher neglects prayer. The scientist loses God in nature. The preacher may lose God in his sermon. Prayer freshens the heart of the preaching, keeps it in tune with God and in sympathy with the people, and lifts the ministry out of the chilly air of a profession. It produces routine and moves every wheel with the capability and power of a divine anointing. Mr. Spurgeon said, "Of course the preacher is above all others distinguished as a man of prayer. He prays as an ordinary Christian, or he would be a hypocrite. He prays more than ordinary Christians, or he would be disqualified for the office he has undertaken. If you as ministers are not very prayerful, you are to be pitied. If you become lax in secret devotion, not only will you need to be pitied, but your people also. And the day will come in which you shall be ashamed and confounded. All our libraries and studies are mere emptiness compared with our prayer closets. Our seasons of fasting and prayer have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer the central glory. The praying that makes a prayerful ministry is not a little praying put in as we add flavoring to give a pleasant taste, but the praying must be in the body and must form the blood and bones. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Because prayer is no light duty that is put into a corner. It is no piecemeal performance carried out in the fragments of time that have been snatched from business and other engagements of life. Prayerfulness requires the best of our time, the heart of our time and strength. It is not the closet absorbed in the study or swallowed up in the activities of ministerial duties, but it is the closet first, the study and activities second, so that both study and activities are freshened and made efficient by the prayer closet. Prayer that affects one's ministry must give the same tone to one's life. The praying that gives color and capability to character is not a hurried pastime, but it must enter as strongly into the heart and life as when Christ had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death was heard because of his reverent fear. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Praying must draw the soul into an agony of desire, as Paul's did when he said, "I say the truth in Christ, I do not lie, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual pain in my heart." Romans chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It must be a fire and force like the effectual fervent prayer of James. Scripture: "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." James chapter 5, verse 16, King James Version. Prayer must be of the quality that when put into the golden censer and burned before God, it makes mighty spiritual suffering and revolutions. Prayer is not a little habit pinned on us while we were tied to our mother's apron strings. Neither is it a little quarter of a minute's grace set over an hour's dinner, but it is a most serious work of our most serious years. It engages more time and appetite than our longest dinings or richest feasts. The prayer that makes much of our preaching must be made much of. The character of our praying will determine the character of our preaching. Light praying will make light preaching. Prayer makes preaching strong, anoints it, and makes it stick. In every ministry producing much good, prayer has always been a serious business. The preacher must be preeminently a man of prayer. His heart must graduate from the school of prayer where only the heart can learn to preach. No learning can make up for the failure to pray. No earnestness, no diligence, no study, no gifts will supply its lack. Talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater still. He will never talk well and with real success to men for God who has not learned how to talk well to God for men. More than this, prayerless words in the pulpit and out of it are deadening words. Scripture: "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn. Sweet hour.